All right, good morning, everyone. Let's get started. I hope you're all having a good Ignite so far. I have a little bit of a bad throat, so sorry about that. So we'll be talking about Skype for Business and enabling mobility in the organization with Skype for Business. I'm Praveen Malu. I'm a Product Marketing Manager with Skype for Business. I take care of mobile clients on iOS, Android, Windows Phone, and especially take care of the mobility space with Skype for Business. We'll be talking about productivity, some of the collaboration scenarios with Skype for Business, some of the work that we've been doing on Skype for Business on the mobile clients, the recent app updates that we have made. We'll go through some demos as well. We'll talk about security and manageability aspects of the clients as well. And we'll have a Q&A at the end. We'll open it up so that we can have an interactive session at the end of it. How many of you use Skype for Business on their mobile phones? That's heartening to see. All right, so as you can imagine, 70% of mobile professionals will conduct their work on personal smart devices by 2018. So this is by according to a study by Gartner, and I'm sure a lot of you are seeing that in your organizations as well. People are bringing their own devices, BYOD and CYOD devices as well. At Microsoft, we have significantly shifted from collaboration at desk to collaboration on the go. We've had quite a bit of success with rolling out Skype for Business mobile clients in Microsoft itself. So I'm sure a lot of you are seeing that in your organizations as well. Is, how can you enable your workforce to be able to collaborate on the go, to be able to run meetings and take meetings actively, collaborate while they're not at their desk, while you're grabbing your coffee or you're on the go. Not just active, passively participate in meetings and collaborate, but actively get involved when you just have your mobile devices, your phone and tablet, and not necessarily your laptop. So the vision that we have at Skype for Business with mobile clients is we want the mobile clients to be your go-to client, not just your companion app where you have to carry your laptop with you when you are joining a meeting or running a meeting, but you should be able to do the complete collaboration experience just on the mobile clients. So we launched Skype for Business. We rebranded from Link to Skype for Business, as you know, last year. And it's been more than a year now that we've rolled out the Skype for Business mobile clients. I'm sure some of you have used the old Link client on the mobile phones as well. We've rebranded the Skype for Business clients, the Link clients to Skype for Business clients on all of our three platforms, including our own Windows platform, on iOS, and Android as well. So we have the just a quick overview of the app. We have the apps available on all the three platforms on both phones and tablets. And our motive has been to optimize the clients for on-the-go scenarios, which means you have a limited real estate to play with, right? So we have moved from, as you can see an example here, we have moved to a full screen, full bleed video experience, which lets you have an immersive call and meeting experience, and you see active speakers, full screen video, and if you have more participants in the meeting, participants switch back and forth between the active speaker and not being shown. On the lower right-hand corner, you see your own active video as well, so that you can see what's going on with your video. One of the cool things that we've done on the mobile clients is we know that a lot of you use mobile clients for messaging as well. And one of the core feedbacks that we got when we were rebranding from Link to Skype for Business was, hey, we were storing the conversation history on the devices themselves, which was local to your device. So if you were having a conversation on your desktop or your other client, let's say, and you wanted to continue that conversation or even refer to that in a meeting or for other purposes, you could not do that. So we moved since then to an online, exchanged based conversation history. So what that enables you to do is, just like any other messaging app that you might be familiar with, you have your entire conversation history stored in Exchange, and no matter what device, what client, if it's iOS or Android, whatever device you're using, the entire conversation history is pulled from Exchange. So it's always fresh, and you can actually pick up conversations wherever you left them on any other device, right? We have the complete meeting experience as well on the mobile clients, including audio, HD video experience. You can add participants from your mobile clients. You can transfer meetings to cellular line in case of weak connection. You know, we always have scenarios where you do not have strong Wi-Fi or a strong data connection, and you still want to be able to dial into your meetings. So if you have voice plans in your organization, you can transfer your meetings to your cellular lines. We automatically do that as well. For example, if you're having a bad network connection, and we detect that intelligently, and we prompt you, hey, looks like you're having a bad meeting experience, you might want to switch to just audio on your cellular line, and we give you a call back. And of course, you can always use settings on the app to configure that, hey, I always want my calls on cellular line. For whatever reason, you might have bad network connectivity, and you prefer that over having your meetings on Wi-Fi, for example. We will look at some of the cool collaboration scenarios that we're enabling. I'll demo that as well. I'm really excited about some of the stuff that we're doing on the mobile. You can now present from a mobile device. You can be truly mobile and run your meetings by uploading your PowerPoint presentation to your Cloud Drive apps and having them available at all times right within your Skype for Business app, so that if you're in a meeting, you need to present from your mobile device, you have your files and presentations available right in the Cloud Drive apps, and you can select what files you want to present and actually control the presentation as well right from your mobile device. So we'll look at that as well. One of the other cool things that we're doing on mobile is we have switched to video-based screen sharing. So what that does is, traditionally we have used RDP-based screen sharing, which has been there for a while, but it's a slower frame rate. It's not really the quickest sharing experience. So we've rolled that out on our desktop clients. Some of you might have heard that. We now have video-based screen sharing on our desktop client. So we're bringing that on your mobile clients as well. So if you're in a meeting, for example, and if two clients are joining in a meeting, one desktop and one mobile client, if the mobile client did not support video-based screen sharing, your entire meeting experience falls back to RDP experience. So you're not able to take advantage of the new protocol that we've enabled. So now that we have support on the mobile clients, the entire meeting can benefit from video-based screen sharing. We'll also talk about managed productivity and how you can manage the app and distribute within your organization. So let's talk about some of the recent app updates. I know a lot of you use Outlook app in conjunction with Skype for Business, right? I mean, you live in email, you want to collaborate, you have your meetings. So there are some core scenarios around scheduling, joining meetings, email and back and forth that we didn't really have for a while. And that's something which we always had at the back of our mind. And we want to enable a deep integration between these two apps, because we believe that these two apps live side by side, and they're sister apps that you should be able to move seamlessly between. We'll look at that as well. But some of the things that we have enabled on that front is, you can now be in the Outlook experience and be able to create Skype for Business meetings. So what that lets you do is, if you're on the go, there was no way for you to create a meeting on the go. So you decided, hey, I got this important email, I want to be able to schedule this meeting right away before I forget. But you have to get to your laptop, use your Outlook client, and create a meeting, make it a Skype meeting. You can do all that in your mobile clients now, which is very, very powerful, because now you can schedule meetings on the go without having to toggle between different apps. And of course, if you can create, you should also be able to join a meeting directly from the Outlook app as well. Now, any meeting which has Skype coordinates in it will automatically detect in the Outlook app that, hey, this is an online Skype for Business meeting. so you don't really need to log on to Skype app and click on the URL to join. We automatically have the same join button experience that you have on Skype for Business client. We have the same experience on Outlook client as well. So what that does is it automatically transfers you over into the Skype for Business app so that you don't have to worry about two different apps. What we're working on right now in terms of integration and we want to enable is presence information as well. That's something which is not there in the app today, but we are working actively to enable presence so that you can see presence on your mobile Outlook app as well, which really enables the entire IM presence meeting across Outlook and Skype for Business, the core scenarios that you can think of. On the content sharing side, I know we had some content sharing experience on some of the platforms and not the others. Just wanted to quickly walk through what we have enabled over the last 3 to 4 months. You can now view shared content on all our apps. So if somebody is organizing a meeting and running it on their desktop client and you're joining into the meeting, you can consume all of the content. So if it is a shared desktop, you will be able to see the entire content on the Android client, on the iOS client, on the Windows Phone app as well. So that's one part of it. The second part of it is, a lot of times we upload PowerPoint presentation into the meeting. So it's a different scenario than just sharing your entire desktop because you are actually uploading PowerPoint files in your meeting. You're sharing the PowerPoint files so that people can actually asynchronously at their own convenience can slide through the deck without you, the presenter, having to go through all the slides. So I might be wanting to quickly browse through the slides on the mobile client. So when you upload a PowerPoint presentation into a meeting, now you can consume those PowerPoint files as well and slide through at your own convenience on the mobile client. And as we spoke a little earlier, you can also run your meetings from mobile devices now. You can present from Android and iOS devices. What we're also enabling is... Sorry? And we'll also open up for Q&A, so I'm sure we'll have a few questions. So one of the things that we've been trying to do is each platform is different in its own sense. iOS platform has its own differences versus when it comes to Android and Windows. So what we've been trying to do is enable native integration as much as possible on the phone so that that's truly an extension of your personal phone is the extension of your business phone, right? I know some of us have had conversations around that. We did some demos at Ignite Studios a couple of days back. So what we've done on that front is we've enabled access to native contacts, device contacts from the app. Again, we are giving IT the control. We understand that some of you might feel differently or might want to control whether your personal contacts and business contacts, how they live together, whether Skype for Business contacts come and be visible on your native contacts and vice versa. But we want to let you decide that as an IT organization, but at least enable your users, if you can, to be able to benefit from the native integration, which lets you seamlessly integrated the contacts and not only contacts, also the calling experience. So one of the cool things that we've done is if you've been following the iOS 10 CallKit SDK, Apple recently announced the CallKit SDK has been made public basically. So what we've been able to do is work with them to enable deep integration into the iOS platform. So imagine you are on a Skype for Business call today. In today's world, if you're using the mobile app, you're in a critical meeting or you are in a critical business call, and you get a telemarketing call in the middle of your conversation. I'm sure you can relate to this. You would have some embarrassing call drops, and you're talking to your colleagues and to your boss, and in the middle of it, you suddenly drop from the call because the native call takes precedence over your microphone on the phone and everything else. So with native integration, what the SDK allows us to do is take over the call kit allows us to take over the entire experience. So your native call is treated at par with a Skype for Business call. So be it a meeting or a PSTN call, it's at par. So what that means is if you're at a PSTN call and you're getting a Skype for Business call, you can put your, when I say PSTN, it's your regular cellular call on AT&T, Vodafone, whatever cellular network you're using. So you can put your other call on hold. You can send it to voicemail, whatever you want to do with that call, and you can pick up your Skype for Business call. On the other hand, if you're already on a Skype for Business call or a meeting and you get an incoming call, you can ignore that and you can continue with your conversation. Of course, there's a hitch of 1 second when you're taking that action that you want to decide, I don't want to take this call, but it's very, very, very seamless. We will be rolling that out pretty soon as well. Quick note here, if you've been using the Android app, you'll already see that native integration working. We have enabled, with the last month's app update, this native integration where you can choose between your cellular call or your Skype for Business call. And on the iOS app, if you have any other wipe apps benefiting from the call kit integration, for example, if you're using any other consumer messaging apps on your phone, that will be treated at par with Skype for Business as well. So you can choose between any of those apps and your cellular line. So that's a big deal when it comes to enabling your workforce to use Skype for Business as their soft phones, right? Traditionally, you had desk phones where people are using call via work, or they're using enterprise voice and their desktop client to be able to take calls, always logged in. But with this, you're actually truly enabling mobility of the voice experience, right? You have connectivity everywhere now, right? And you have your Skype for Business app. And with that, even if you do not have PSTN number from us, as most of you know, we have PSTN numbers as well. Microsoft is now providing PSTN numbers. But even with just the VoIP experience, you have your soft phone with you wherever you go with Skype for Business mobile client. So I wanted to make that point that this is a significant shift in how we are looking at enabling your business phone extension on your mobile clients. We've done some sign-in improvements as well. We have smart login support on Skype for Business clients. What that means is if your first sign-in experience is much better. That's one of the feedback that we've been getting from some of you is the sign-in experience has been a little inconsistent. There's been sign-in failures. We've done a lot of improvements on that front, especially the end-user experience is much better as well. If you enter your username incorrectly, for example, we catch that in the first step instead of you having to enter your password and then realize that, hey, my username was incorrect and go back. So that experience is much better. The meeting join is one of the areas where I've had a lot of feedback from you as well in terms of, hey, if somebody is joining a meeting on the mobile client from a non-federated domain, you're joining as a guest and you're signed in into the app. You do not get into the meeting right away. You would get an error, you would drop off the meeting, you would sign out of the app, and then you join as a guest. So that experience, again, we are putting more thought and intelligence into how you're joining the meetings, what scenario you're joining the meeting under as well. So now the app intelligently detects meetings hosted on non-federated domains so that you can join as a guest user automatically. You don't have to worry about signing in into the app and signing out of the app. So that's an improved experience that you'll definitely notice when you're joining meetings. Now the next one is a big one, push notifications. This has been a burning topic for a lot of you folks I know. Especially in terms of adoption and end-user experience, push notifications is a key addition to the mobile clients. So push notifications, just to give a quick overview, what that enables us to do is, even when you're not signed into the app or you're not actively using the app, it lets us communicate with you. So if you're on your lock screen, you have your phone, you get a message. If an app doesn't support push notification, for example, you would not get that notification right on your lock screen, or you wouldn't be able to respond to it, for example. So you would have a scenario where you know, you might have end users telling you, hey, I got an IM message. I see it in my app, but I never got to see it until like 3 hours when I actually logged into the app, right? So if it's a critical IM conversation or a critical call, unless you're logged into the app or have been using the app, depending on what platform you're on, you know, the app stays active for, let's say, a couple of hours or 24 hours. But after that, the app goes into an inactive mode, in which case, any notifications which the app gets would not be pushed through. So with push notifications, you will be able to now get all notifications on your lock screen, which is any IM message that you might get, any phone call on both Android and iOS platforms. We've always had that support on the Windows platform. So that is now available for all online users. You should be able to log on to the app. We will also look at that, how you can verify. We have an indicator in this in the settings of the app where you can look whether your account is enabled for push notifications or not. So at a tenant level, and you can also check at a user level whether you're supporting push notifications or not. So right now it's enabled by default. If it's enabled at the tenant level, we're also looking at whether we want to enable user level control where you can switch it on and off. But of course, given that it's a messaging app, it makes all the sense to have it turned on by default. So one of the other improvement areas is, again, on the battery consumption side. You know, a lot of you are using the app throughout the work hours. We've had quite some feedback around, hey, the battery consumption is it's getting affected when you're using the app actively for long duration. So we have done a few experiments on the new app now. We've been able to reduce the battery consumption while using the app about 15 to 20% based on our tests. So I'm happy to report that out. If you have those concerns around battery consumption, you should definitely see some improvements on that front. Talking about intelligence, as I was mentioning, intelligence is a recurring theme in a lot of the app updates that we're doing. And automatic PST and fallback is definitely one of those. So what that lets you do is, it lets you transfer your meetings to cellular phone lines. You don't have to worry about going back to your settings, dropping off a call when the network goes bad, and then asking the meeting to call you back. This detects that you're having a bad network and a bad connectivity, and lets the meeting call you real time so that you can join without actually missing any part of the meeting at all. So you can still consume the audio from the meeting. Of course, because we are calling on the cellular line, you would not be able to consume the other media, which is audio and video, but you will still be able to be in the meeting experience and be able to listen in, which is a great improvement if you're using the app in bad network conditions or where you do not have Wi-Fi available. We've also made accessibility improvements on the app. So accessibility is a key theme for us at Skype for Business. So if you followed Gurdeep's general session on Monday, we did a demonstration of Skype meeting broadcast with real-time translation, with transcription, which is one of the, accessibility is one of the key factors behind that, is we want our technology to be accessible to everyone, right? So if you have special needs, you want to consume the transcript of a meeting, for example, you can do that with Skype meeting broadcast. So we're doing that throughout the product. We've made our desktop clients accessible as well. The mobile clients are now accessible too. There's a setting in the app, and if you want the accessibility features of the app, you can turn that on as well. We'll look at that as well. So let's talk about native integration on iOS 10 and what that allows us to do. We spoke a little bit about this, but essentially you can answer any Skype for Business VoIP calls right from your lock screen. So with just one swipe, you can take your phone call on the lock screen. You have uninterrupted business conversations. When you have an incoming VoIP call, you can choose calls between VoIP and cellular and other VoIP apps if they are integrated with the iOS 10 platform. And you can get to the app directly from the lock screen as well. So we have enabled direct access from the lock screen into the app. So if you want to use audio, video, and other features and full feature set of the app, you can directly go from the lock screen. We also looking at CDKit integration. This is something which we're exploring. You would not see that coming in the next update, but the update after that should definitely be having something around CDKit integration. So especially, imagine a scenario where you're trying to interact with the app without having to, you're trying to interact with the app hands-free via Bluetooth, and you do not have the ability to be able to unlock your phone. With CDKit integration, you'd be able to use voice commands to interact with the app. So that's going to be a key addition to our intelligence, as I was mentioning. If you can interact with the app, if you want to call someone directly using CDKit, you can do that as well. We'll look at some of these in the demo as well, but here's a quick look at PowerPoint sharing in a meeting and the experience that you have. As you can see, you're in a meeting experience, you want to present, you can, it's as easy as selecting what files you want to present and choosing that file from the OneDrive or any other cloud drive app. Here's a quick look at the Outlook integration. As you can see, that join button is the same join button as you have in the Skype for Business app. It lets you directly join from the Outlook app. So let's talk about video-based screen sharing on mobile. So a quick overview of what is video-based screen sharing. So it's HD screen sharing. It's using H.264 protocol, if you're familiar. That's a video codec that we use. We also use H.264 in our new Mac client as well. So that allows us to do screen sharing at 15 frames per second during desktop or app sharing. It's peer-to-peer conversations, or if it's a multi-party conference that you are in, or a typical organized meeting scenario. It's a faster setup than RDP, which is Remote Desktop Protocol. That's what our older clients use, and we've been trying to move all our clients to use VBSS. Of course, they also still support RDP platform, but we want to move all our sharing experiences onto VBSS. It's actually using the bandwidth more efficiently. So one key differentiating factor between the two platforms is, of course, RDP supports about 3 to 4 frames per second, but since VBSS is using UDP platform, we are actually, for a seamless experience, if you're sharing animated content or if you're trying to share a video, for example, today, at 3 to 4 frames per second, you can imagine the video would not be a great experience if you're trying to share any animated content. It's going to be heavily lagging and very jittery in terms of what you're trying to share. With VBSS, 15 frames per second allows you to share animated content. And of course, you're sharing 5 times more frames per second, so we use more bandwidth in essence. But at the same time, the effective bandwidth that we use with VBSS is less than RDP. So what that, allow me to explain what that means. So every frame per second, the amount of bandwidth that we consume on RDP with VBSS, that is less. So imagine 15 times of that is definitely higher than what you get with RDP, but we're more efficiently using the available bandwidth. So in case that bandwidth is not available, you're in a bad network, we detect that, hey, we cannot use VBSS effectively, so let's not have you use, try to pump 15 frames per second when we cannot, and we fall back to Remote Desktop Protocol. So essentially, it is trying to optimize your viewing experience based on your network conditions and all the external factors that you have. Again, tying back to the intelligence theme that I was referring to earlier. We'll have a look at that as well later in the demo. But here are a quick technical differences. As I was mentioning, VBSS uses UDP protocol. RDP is TCP based, and the frame rates per second, of course, is another key differentiator. So let's talk about authentication and manageability. So one of the key things that we've been trying to do is standardize our authentication platform across all the Office apps. So if you've been using passive authentication or other forms of authentication like NTLM, some of you might know that we've moved to modern authentication, which is an OAuth-based authentication platform across all of the Office apps on mobile. So what across all the clients, in fact. So what that allows us to do is have a single consistent authentication framework across all the Office apps. And it's a token-based authentication approach, which means you're not transferring your credentials over the wire, right? Which you might be doing with some of the other protocols. So essentially, it's a token-based, you're doing a token exchange over the wire. You're never passing your username and password over the wire or storing on your device, which is, which from a security standpoint, is extremely important. So it's, in terms of some of the key features that we're enabling, we've enabled modern authentication on both online and on server now. So if you're looking to switch to modern authentication, which is a prerequisite for a lot of other security features, and if you're trying to do Intune integration, we've enabled that on both online and server now. So you should be able to switch to modern authentication starting now. We've enabled modern authentication on Windows Phone app as well. The next one is an interesting one, and I know some of you might have special interest in that. Certificate-based authentication is essentially allowing you to use the app without username and password. So some of you, I know we've talked, you do not have username password support in your organization, and you still want your workforce to be able to use the app, which is you have a smart card-based approach where you might have a virtual smart card or a physical smart card which people are accessing, which they're using to access the apps, for example. So using certificate-based authentication, you can actually do that. We now support certificate-based authentication on our mobile clients for online customers. We are exploring how can we bring certificate-based authentication to on-premises customers as well with modern authentication. That's something which is on the roadmap, and we're working through that. The key advantage with having modern authentication on your Office platform is it enables single sign-on across all the apps, which is if you're using Outlook and Skype for Business or let's say PowerPoint and Word apps on your mobile phone, you can sign in once into Outlook, and since it's using the same certificate across the same token across all the apps, it knows that, hey, this user has signed in and is authenticated. You don't have to sign in again. It can be a very painful experience if you're trying to use the Office apps and you have to sign in every time you're using the app. So this is one of the key differentiators between using any other authentication factor and using modern authentication. And as I was mentioning, this is a prerequisite for a lot of the MDM and MAM features. So we've also integrated Skype for Business apps with our device management and application management platform, which is Microsoft Intune. So Intune lets you manage the Skype for Business apps from, you know, you can push device management policies on the devices people are bringing in, and you can also manage the app with application management policies that we have. So two key reasons why we think that's really important is if you're using any of the third-party device management solution and you're still looking to manage Skype for Business apps on your users' devices, you can do that using Intune by just enabling application management policies and pushing those out on the devices. So just like you might be managing any other app, you can manage Skype for Business app as well. Some of the key policies that you might want to enable, for example, is, hey, I want my users to be on the latest iOS or Android OS. They should be running the latest OS before they can access the app, for example. That's one of the common scenarios that I encounter is, you know, there might be security loopholes. As you saw, one of the iOS updates had a security loophole, and everybody in the organizations were asked to upgrade to the latest OS so that those loopholes didn't exist anymore. So in that scenario, it becomes extremely critical that you manage that via policy. So conditional access policies lets you define some of those policies in the same admin portal as you would for other apps, which is, you know, if you're not using the latest OS on your phone, you cannot access Skype for Business app, for example. There's some granular policies like disabling copy-paste between a managed app and an unmanaged app. So if you are concerned about data protection in your organization, especially if you have critical, you know, IM conversations and people sharing sensitive data over PowerPoint presentations, for example, you can disable copy-paste between, let's say, Twitter and Skype for Business, but still keep that seamless interaction between Outlook and Skype for Business, because that's a very common scenario. You might be wanting to access Skype for Business data from Outlook and vice versa. You can prevent screen captures of PowerPoint files, for example. So if you have, if you're in the app, Skype for Business app, and you do not want your users to be able to screenshot sensitive PowerPoint files and share that with other users, you can disable that. So if you're in the app and you try to, you know, press your home screen and the power button, it would not do anything, for example. And all of this is done in a very user-friendly way, so it doesn't get in the way of user adoption and end user experience, right? Because as much as we want IT to be able to manage the devices and the end user experience, we want the users to be kind of, you know, be aware and have the transparency that, hey, this is managed by your IT organization, so the messaging and that that hand-holding is there in the entire experience, so that end users don't feel overwhelmed by, hey, why am I having to sign in twice, or why can't I copy paste information from two apps, for example. So let's look at some of the demos. We'll walk through. Here's a quick link at, if you're looking at the mobile clients, aka.ms/getsfb points you to all the apps and stores, so I highly encourage you to go there and look at the apps and download. But let's go into a demo mode here. So I'll actually start in the Outlook app. As you can see, this is the calendar view on my iPad here. I'm in Outlook, and I want to actually create a new meeting right now. It's going to be a Skype meeting, Skype for Business meeting. And as you can see, this is how you create a new event in Outlook, right? I'm going to call it Demo Outlook Meeting. And as you can see now, you have a Skype meeting toggle as well. So we, you know, as you know, this Outlook app is being used in consumer scenarios as well as enterprise scenarios. Again, we intelligently detect that, hey, this, you're using this account right now using an enterprise account. You're using Office 365 account to sign in. If you're using a consumer account, if you're using a Hotmail account, you could create a Skype event, which is a Skype consumer event, right? So we are also trying to integrate the consumer and enterprise scenarios and differentiate between the two very intelligently. So you would not see a Skype event here, because this is in a commercial business scenario. So you would see only a Skype meeting toggle here. So it's as simple as that. You can create a Skype meeting, and you can add participants within your organization right from the same app. So I'm looking at adding Molly, and let's say I want Sara to be in the meeting. They are in the same organization. They are in the Active Directory, so I can look them up very easily, and I can send a meeting invite. So right there, we just created a Skype for Business meeting from the Outlook app. So let me actually now join a meeting that I have on my calendar. So I'm actually also going to join a meeting right from my Outlook app. As you can see, this is a Skype meeting which I want to join directly from the Outlook app without actually going to Skype for Business app, because I am in my Outlook app. And as you see, this directly puts me into the Skype for Business experience without having to go to Skype for Business app, open my calendar locally, and join the meeting from there. So one of the key things that we talked about was, hey, how do I run presentations from my from my mobile device. So as you can see, the menu option here lets me add participants, so I can add more participants. I'm going to add Molly here to this meeting invite. I see Molly is here. And as you can see, I'm going to switch here my source. I'm getting a call on this other device on the lock screen, and I'm going to just slide and get in that meeting. So right now, I just joined a meeting from this device. I got an invite. I did not have to unlock my phone or do anything. My phone was in my pocket. I did not have to do anything, log into the app, and it was not even a phone call. It was a meeting experience. And you see how seamless it is. It's just on the lock screen. I'm running a build which supports iOS CallKit integration. You would see this in a couple of weeks in the store as well, where you would be able to basically take your phone calls right from your lock screen with just one single swipe. And the app integration that I was talking about, native integration, as you can see, I have the Skype for Business button here on the right bottom. And if I hit that, I actually directly get into the app experience. So now I'm actually in the app meeting experience, as you can see. And I can actually just switch back and forth between my conversations, and I can go back to the meeting with just one click. So let's actually go ahead and present from my mobile phone. I'm going to actually try to upload PowerPoint files here. Let's hope the network is working fine. All my business presentations are on OneDrive. That's where I keep my all my business documents. Of course, if you're using Box or Dropbox, Google Drive, whatever, we understand that you might be using other cloud storage apps as well for your needs. So if you have the cloud drive apps on your phone, if they're on your iPhone or your Android, and if you enable access from Skype for Business apps to those apps, you would see those here as well. I'm going to go to my OneDrive app, and I want to present this PowerPoint file, for example, here. So what it is doing right now is trying to download that file from the cloud storage app and uploading into the meeting. The cool thing about this experience is once this uploads into the meeting, if you're on the desktop app, this deck is available in the content bin so that you can download the file offline if you want to. It's not just in the meeting as a static file. You can download the presentation. You can go through the presentation at your own pace whenever you want to, whatever slide you want to be on. You don't have to follow what the presenter is doing on the phone. So let's look at how easy it is to slide through the deck. You know, it is just simple swipe gestures, and I'm actually being able to go through different slides. And I'm joined into the meeting in the iPad here. Let's look at that. I'm going to switch sources again. I want to show you how real-time this experience looks like. As you can see, I'm actually sliding on my mobile phone where I'm presenting from. Right now, I'm switching between slides. And you're almost seeing that real-time on the other end. So I'm joining this meeting on the iPad as well. I do not have to wait for more than half a second to see the next slide. And it's very user-friendly to be able to switch between slides. Just one swipe gesture, and I can go back and forth between different slides. All right. Since we're in the iPad app, let's look at some of the other cool things about the app that I want to show you. So we were talking about using Outlook app in conjunction with Skype for Business app as well. One of the scenarios that I find very very powerful is on the iPad especially, you can actually use the Outlook app in conjunction. So I just swipe right while I'm in the Skype for Business app. And as you can see, right now I'm actually in Skype for Business app. I will actually go to my account here. And I'm actually in my mailbox right now, also reading emails. I understand that some of you like to read emails while you're in meetings, so you get bored in some of your meetings, and you're always opening your emails and trying to respond. And you can actually not miss the meeting in this scenario and still be actually checking your emails. And especially if you're having to respond in a meeting and you need to really quickly look up an email without having to exit the meeting, you can quickly look up that email. And going back into the meeting is really easy as well. Some of the cool things that we've done is we have enabled swipe gestures. So if you're in a conversations, you know, deleting a conversation is as easy as just swiping right, and then you can delete a conversation. Starting a call and a video call is again as simple as swiping left, and you can directly call someone from that experience. So let's look at the iOS CallKit integration real quick here. Just give me a second. I will try to simulate a scenario where I'm going to try to interrupt a call, a Skype for Business call using my personal phone, and we will look at that experience. So, all right, so what I'm doing right now is Sarah is calling me on my mobile phone, so I'm gonna accept the call right from the lock screen as we did for a meeting experience as well. So I'm in a business conversation right now, and I will try to interrupt this phone call by simulating a telemarketing call, let's say. So as you can see, I'm getting a phone call from a personal contact, and I want to continue with my business conversation. So I'm going to send this to voicemail. So that call was declined, and as you can see, I'm still on my business conversation with Sarah. I'm still on the call. I haven't dropped from the call. So today, if you tried to do that, you would be completely out of that meeting experience or that phone call that you were on. So this is a really cool experience. Again, you have access to the entire app if you wanted to use video. So if you could, if you wanted to escalate this to a video call from being just a phone call, you could do that as well with just one click right from the lock screen. So you do not have to go to the app. It's natively integrated, you know, making it your business phone, you know, with audio, video, and an entire phone experience. With that, I actually wanted to open it up for Q&A. If you have any questions, I would like to use the next 10 to 15 minutes for Q&A and answer those. There's a mic, if you can come up, it'll be great so that we can record the questions as well. There's a mic here for Q&A, if you don't mind, so that everyone can listen in. Yeah.
First question is the local content chat. We consider that highly secure. I heard you say it's part of the exchange, but I also understand that it's part of the caching. So how are you securing that data? One, from somebody penetrating your device, and two, from a user sending it out to the Wall Street Journal, that chat message.
So two things. One, if you want to disable storing conversations in Exchange, you can totally do that. So we have given IT the control of not allowing Exchange integration so that none of those conversations...
But I kill it on my desktop as well. It's not mobile versus desktop. I only want to secure it.
Mm-hmm.
On my desktop, I already have it secured.
Yep.
Desktops, we provide the BitLocker and all that. I need to secure it now on the mobile device. How am I going to do that?
So what you can do is, since you mentioned BitLocker, you can also, using Intune policy, you can set a password for Skype for Business app So if somebody wants to access Skype for Business app, you would need an additional password to be able to access the app. That's one way of doing it.
Okay, now, to me, it seems like you're bundling Intune instead of putting out the APIs that you usually do for other vendors. Why do I want two MDM devices, two MDM management suites on my device? How many management suites will it take to secure a phone?
Well, our goal is to have you use Intune and not have to worry about any other device management.
Why not publish the APIs?
You mean?
These other vendors like AirWatch and Good and whoever else is down the road. It seems like you're bundling, trying to develop a market for Intune from a customer perspective. That you're developing a market for Intune that really doesn't have to be there, that you should be able to publish the APIs, that the best MDM win for that company. But instead, I have to put two MDMs on here to be accomplished.
Well, I'll take that feedback to the Intune team because it is something which is managed by the Intune team, how they expose the APIs. It's not a Skype for Business decision per se. We integrate into their APIs. Of course, we have access to Intune APIs, which we integrate with in our app, which lets us benefit from the same policies. But that's something which I can take back to the Intune team as a
second question.
Yeah.
Is for the desktop sharing piece.
Yep.
On the mobile, can I desktop? Can I share, or am I uploading?
So you're uploading presentations or other files, which we'll be enabling pretty soon as well from your cloud storage. We've also we're looking at enabling screen sharing, but we haven't found a great use case yet. So if you have scenarios where you're looking to screen share from your mobile devices, I would definitely love to hear more about it and see what the use case is.
Okay, the reason that we're doing that is we still have a challenge with putting data up in the cloud.
Okay.
Blind subpoenas still haven't been addressed by the Microsoft cloud, and that's causing our company to look at screen sharing, so that's the case for that.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye. Thank you.
So, just a quick question around presence and updates.
Yeah.
When you're joined into a meeting, are the presence changes in the mobile device?
Yeah.
We have seen some inconsistencies in that update occurring when they're logged into multiple devices. Just wondering if there's resources or any, if you could share any idea about how that mechanism works.
Yeah, so one of the challenges we've had with that on the mobile front specifically was the lack of push notifications. Because with push notifications, now we can more accurately track your status changes and be in sync with your other devices. So I would highly recommend checking out the latest app with push notification support and see if that's any better for you. Because for me, with push notification support, it has gotten a lot better. Let me actually show you how you can go and check if your app is supporting push notifications. So you go to your settings, and you should be able to see, for example, Molly is not supported for push notifications as a test. But I'm going to switch to Sarah here, and I'm going to see her settings. As you can see, she has support for push notification, although they are on the same tenant. So it could be that all your users are still not supported for push. So that's something I'll definitely check out. That should help.
Excellent, thank you.
Yeah.
It is not planned to bring persistent chat in the mobile app, correct?
Yeah, so I'll answer two-thronged approach to that question. One, persistent chat as a feature, no, we're not bringing to the mobile clients. But we understand that people are looking at persistency in their conversations, which is, you know, if you look at this conversation history right now, I would have a conversation with same people appear multiple times because they're conversations in different times. So they're not sequential and continuous. So what we're trying to do is, just like any other messaging app that you might be used to, you and I have a conversation, and that is just one conversation, one instance, and I can track back in time whatever we've talked about. We're exploring that as a design option where we can pivot around people instead of conversations. So if I and you have five conversations, it doesn't show five times. It'll show once, and it's all sequential and pulling from Exchange. Yeah, so we're definitely exploring. So wait to hear from that.
Two questions.
Yeah.
is there a known issue with Call Me Back not working consistently in Skype for Business? I've got a Premier case open right
so
now. We're not seeing the call hit our SBC at all.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really nothing for us to troubleshoot there.
So there are two dependencies here. One, we've enabled this for online users first. So are you online or on-prem?
On-prem. Yes, we're on-prem.
On-prem,
I know
yeah.
You guys think everybody's online, but we're not.
Yeah, no. So, yeah. But so that feature is enabled right now for online users. So I think that is where you might be seeing the callback feature not working.
That doesn't make sense, because why does it work for some and not others, and they're all on-prem? So is it a bug in the app? That's what I'm trying to get at, and I can't
okay.
get Microsoft to address that.
Sure, if there's a case open already, that's the right channel. But two things to look at is, do you have enterprise voice? Because you know that's how you get that functionality to work. So some
you
of your users
use,
may not have.
You can use the bypass for PSTN bypass, right?
Yeah.
That's all enabled. So I was just curious if there was a bug there.
Not that I'm aware of, yeah.
And then the second question is, why is it when you're logging into the Skype for Business mobile client now, you get all your toast that you had like 6 hours ago
mm-hmm.
pop up, even though you've responded to them, they were at your desktop level? Is that a known issue as well?
That's something which I'm aware of, yes. And I think with push notifications, that should be solved, though. So,
okay. Thanks.
So you showed the inbox integration in the Skype client.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something administrators can turn off, and do they have to have the Outlook client installed on the mobile device for that to work?
So Outlook integration turned off on the Outlook client with Skype for Business?
So you can't get to your inbox from Skype for Business.
I do not know if that's a policy you can set today, but I can follow up
okay.
that. Yeah,
and
I do not have.
Does it only work if you have Outlook installed on the
device? Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
Thank
mm-hmm.
you. I've got two questions as well.
Yeah.
The multiplier authentication support in a hybrid mode. For example, we are on Exchange, we are on Exchange Online, and our Skype is on-premise now. I mean, we are hybrid there too. So what happens is that when you log on to a mobile client, if you are MFA enabled, you won't be able to see the calendar items in your mobile client, which kind of makes it pretty useless because you cannot join the meeting. I mean, if you enable the Outlook to join that option, that might be a workaround, but it's not there today, right? I mean, so do you have any plans to add the MFA support for the hybrid?
So MFA is supported, so let me kind of explain two dependencies here. MFA is supported today online, on-prem, and in hybrid environments, which is, you need modern authentication to be able to enable multi-factor authentication in all of these topologies. But there's dependency on Exchange as well. I know there's one corner case where if you have Exchange on-prem, that may not work seamlessly with you. So that's something which we're trying to fix. If your Exchange is on-prem, is that?
No, our Exchange is online.
Online, okay.
We have the exact same scenario on the Skype room systems. We have got hundreds of Skype room systems in our company.
Okay.
So unless you exclude them from the MFA, you won't be able to see the calendar items in the room meeting room panel. So I spoke to another person who is a Skype room expert, and they know about this option.
Yep.
And they said, exclude it from MFA. But that's not an option our security allows.
We are aware of complications with MFA and hybrid setup. And again, with Exchange being online and on-prem, there's some dependency there which isn't all sorted out, and we're working through some of those details around hybrid. Same thing with certificate-based authentication. We are running into some challenges there. We're working through identity teams concerned there. So I'll touch base again in a month or so and see if that's resolved.
Okay, and you mentioned about the VBSs on the client, the mobile clients.
Yeah.
So if you have a client policy that is set for a user to use only RDP, will it respect it?
Yeah, you can control this policy. You can set it to only use RDP if you wanted.
Okay, so that if the mobile client also will respect the same client policy, right?
Yeah, it's the same policy.
And this could be a product enhancement in the mobile client. Would it be possible to just kind of add like a, just like you show the signal strength?
Yep.
Whether you're connecting using VBSs or RDP or like switch.
Oh, just to let you know what you're using in that meeting scenario?
That would be really useful because, the first thing we can ask, well, it's not working for me, and the first thing, what do you see on the top? Like, being like VBSs?
Yeah, my take on that is any user probably doesn't know what RDP and VBSs is. As an IT person, you know what it is, and you might want to see. End user doesn't really.
Make a call saying like, you know, my meeting experience sucks, and you know, you can ask, how are you coming? I mean, usually we ask them the question like, you know.
But you should be able to get that information in your logs, though.
This is probably for the help desk, right?
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
If there is an option, you know, if they are in a bad country, if it is not automatically failing back to RDP within the mobile client, this would be a perfect option to switch back and forth. Because
that, that's good feedback. Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be, that's it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hi there. Two questions. First one, is there a plan to be able to start a conversation, let's say, at your desk and continue that chat conversation on your mobile as you're leaving your desk and vice versa?
So it's almost real time. So if you have a chat on your desktop today, you should see that conversation appear on your mobile client as well in real time because it's pulling from Exchange. If it is not doing that, I would look into the there's a configuration setting which you need to enable. If it's not enabled, we are enabling that by default, which is server-side conversation history true. I do not remember the configuration name, but I'll definitely look into that and see if that's turned on. If it's not, that's definitely what you should be doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
You. Second question, will it be possible on the client in the future to be able to change the, I would say, home screen? So instead of just seeing your calendar item, to be able to see like your favorite contacts as you're seeing when you open your desktop client?
On the desktop client, so today if you see in this app, it brings together everything. You have your upcoming meetings, you have your recent conversations, you can actually search for contacts. Your contacts are also here, so
yeah.
It's all in one screen actually.
By default, if I look at my client by default when I open it, so on an iOS, the first thing I see is just my upcoming appointments and the latest conversations.
Yeah.
But there is no way, if I want to go see the contact, I have to go pin the contact to see it. Is there a way in the future to maybe able to customize what you see when you first open the app? Because that's something our end users are complaining about, saying, hey, don't really care about the appointment, I have a calendar app to do that.
That's a great feedback, yeah. We haven't put in the roadmap yet, but that's a great feedback for users to be able to change the view based on what. So what we think is optimal is this kind of view where you have all your favorite contacts, your upcoming meetings all available. But we can look, yeah.
It's just not very practical since, as somebody said earlier, you just see the conversation, each conversation and not the person you've been conversing with as your favorite user, you just see the past conversation, which is not so great.
Yeah, so that should solve when we actually pivot around people instead of the conversations.
Yeah, that might help.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So my question is, is there any thought we require a second factor for all mobile applications, including Skype? We are currently Duo. Is there natively, is Microsoft going to actually support Duo as a mobile preferred second factor?
So you're saying as a server-side policy, you want to set two-factor authentication is what I'm hearing, or?
Yeah, so basically our security team is dictating that we cannot enable the mobile client for users unless there's a second factor, even though there's already two factors, but we won't get into that.
Okay.
So because of that, we're an AirWatch shop, so we can't use the certificate with an AirWatch to be the second factor. Our current, we were RSA, we're moving to Duo. And through the Technic articles out there, we don't see Duo listed as a preferred vendor for second factor integration.
Yeah, so I mean, in general, our strategy is we're not supporting any third-party MDM solutions per se. So we're not integrating. If you're looking at using Intune to push second factor authentication, you can do that today. You can manage MFA. But even without Intune, if you're using modern authentication, if you've turned on modern authentication for Skype for Business clients, you can use, so within MSIT, we use two-factor authentication. One is, of course, your user credentials, and the second one is you get a phone call or SMS or you use Azure Authenticator app and your fingerprints for on iOS device.
That's what Duo would do for us?
Yeah.
I guess the integration isn't there between the Skype mobile client and Duo to allow
but you
that.
Shouldn't You, even without Duo, you should be able to do that. Even without Intune, you should be able to do two-factor authentication. today using modern authentication.
Okay.
Yeah, so modern authentication is where you would want to move your Skype clients to, and then you should be able to do that.
Okay.
Without Duo, yeah.
The ability to create a Outlook, you know, Skype meeting on the iOS devices for the on-prem customers, is there on the roadmap?
For on-prem customers?
Yes.
It is, yeah, it is, you know, independent of the topology, you should be able to create.
Okay.
So if you're not seeing in the app, maybe you have not updated the app, or we are rolling it out in phases on the Outlook app, because
okay.
this just rolled out last week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So it's independent of the topology.
Okay, and my question is more like a basic level. I have noticed that stability of this app has been quite poor throughout this year since you made this downgrade, I would say, from the Lync app to the Skype for Business. I mean, it was kind of catastrophe. just in the morning here, for example, I tried to make a global call home back home to Sweden, and I was in the lounge for the breakfast, and the Wi-Fi is very, very poor quality, but I had a connection, so I could start to make the call, and it started to make this noise, and didn't connect.
Okay.
So after a few moments, I get bored. Okay, I want to disconnect this now. And I tried to push this red button, like, hang up the call. But during this process, the app is like locking the whole system. It's continue to like and I can't hang up.
Okay, so this is the first time I'm hearing that you're not able to, your app is freezing. So it could be, have you looked at device? Is it a device problem or?
I have no idea. I'm just a normal customer.
No, so I would, I mean, of course, I mean, you would have to narrow down the problem into, you know, what is causing, because if you're, in terms of audio, there's so many factors,
yeah.
right?
But
so.
When I come out into the corridor and stand next to an access point where I have a better connection, then the call went through perfectly.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, of course, network is a key factor, right? If you're trying to make a call on a bad network, you would not have a great experience. That,
no,
yeah,
but my point was just that I can't hang up the call when I have the bad experience. It's just continue ringing. But this is nothing you heard about before.
Yeah, no, I'll look into it for sure. But that's the first time I'm hearing that because of bad network, you're not able to hang up the call. But thanks for the feedback.
Okay.
What device were you on, just to know?
Hmm?
What device were you using?
This one, iPhone 6.
iPhone 6, okay.
Plus.
Sure, thanks for the feedback.
Thank you.
Do you have a plan to support for certificate-based authentication on Windows Phone?
For Windows Phone, not yet, no.
Not yet?
Not yet, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
one more question.
Yeah.
Can I use certificate-based authentication on-premise environment?
Yes, that's on the roadmap. Today it's supported for online.
Uh-huh.
For hybrid and on-premises, we are working with our identity team to enable that.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
So yeah, please wait to hear on that.
See.
Welcome.
When did you say the call kit features will be available in the mobile?
In the next 2 to 3 weeks, you should see in the store, yeah.
And then there'll be an update for Outlook at the same time, or the Outlook update has already happened?
It's already happening, yeah.
So,
that's
should be able to...
If you download the latest Outlook app on your...
I think I have it, so maybe I can...
Okay. But I know they're rolling out in a phased manner, so
okay.
You may not be in the first lot.
Yeah, I don't have the ability to add Skype for business.
Skype meeting,
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I wanted to expound upon a question I asked you a few days ago.
Yeah.
Is there a site for our customers to go to look at how to do texting through Skype for Business with the iOS and the Android?
How to do texting?
SMS, yeah, because I haven't seen it, so I was wondering if there was something.
Yeah, so that will come with the contact card integration in the next couple of months. Once
okay.
we have that, we'll have some knowledge base articles.
Okay,
there.
Okay, thank you.
How to articles, yeah. Any other questions? Well, thanks for dropping by. Hope you have a good rest of the Ignite.